This working? Good work.
Good morning.
You can't imagine how good it is for me that this day's finally got here. I'm glad to be with you this morning. We're blessed in our freedom to be able to worship freely here. I'm continually reminded. Linda Harrell's Bible says this book is outlawed in some number of countries, 40 or 50 or 60 of them. 53. But they don't have the freedom that we have to worship freely. So we need to not take that for granted. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the day that you've given to us. I thank you for each one that's here today to come to worship and glorify you. Thank you for the work of your hands that made this world for us. Thank you for this place of worship and the freedom we have to be here. Father, you knew each of us before the creation of the world. You made each of us with a purpose. I would pray today that you would help each one of us to achieve the purpose that you created us for. And Father, tomorrow we celebrate our veterans. Bless them. I thank you for the contributions and the sacrifices that they have made to secure our freedoms. I pray each one of us, that each one of us here would hear your spirit daily. I would hear your spirit speak to us. And I pray that we would act on those spirit messages. And thank you, Jesus, for the free gift of eternal life that you gave to each one of us who believe. Father, this morning particularly, I pray for your thoughts and your words as I speak to your church this morning. I pray these things in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm here today, and some of these words may be out of text because I didn't think Brian was going to be here this morning, but God bless him for being here, and God bless that things are going well with Kathy. I didn't think Brian was going to be here earlier this week. The heart attack had happened, and the elders didn't know what was going to go on, so some of us got together communicating, said, what are we going to do? And that was on Tuesday afternoon. So I'm here today. But pray for her recovery. Pray for Kathy's recovery. But also pray for Brian. Those men of you that have had to take care of your wives or your girlfriends or your daughters or your, understand how hard that is for a man. So pray for Brian. I'm going to speak today. I'm sorry about your luck. And Carl's going to talk next week, I think. That's still the plan. Men's Bible study was canceled this week. Thanks, Sam, for getting the notice out on that. I hope everybody heard that it was canceled. I'm still looking for somebody, to lead next week. I'm going to be out of town. So if you'd like to do that, there's opportunities abound. So let me know. Or somebody else know that you'd be willing to lead the Bible study, the men's Bible study, on Thursday. Like many of you, when confronted with the opportunity to do God's work, I want to run and hide. So often, I feel that somebody else is better qualified. There's that infamous somebody. Does anybody know that person? Does anybody know him or her? If you do, would you introduce me to him or her? Because I got a lot of work for him to do. When I think about somebody needing to do something, I think about Saul. When Samuel was wanting to present him to Israel as king. Do you remember that story? 1 Samuel, chapter 10, verse 22. You want to turn there? It was time to present Saul to Israel. They couldn't find him. Do you remember where he was? He was hiding in his baggage, hiding in his stuff. He's hiding out. He didn't want to come forward. How many of us hide in our baggage rather than step forward to do the work of God? Brian was busy, or I thought he was going to be busy with Kathy, so I agreed to speak this morning. And that was pretty stressful for me. At one point, while these conversations Tuesday morning and afternoon were going on, I was on the phone with Cleve Cushing. You know Cleve. And I said, Cleve, I'm going to go out and split wood. I got to think about God and what I'm going to do and what I'm going to say. So I headed out to get the splitter and out to the wood pile, and God spoke to me and said, you need to pray. So I did right there. And then and there I prayed. I said, God, I need help. What am I going to say? You got to give me some words. And the coolest thing happened. As soon as I started splitting wood, words started coming out of my mouth. And those are the words that I'm going to share with you today. But it was just an awesome answer to prayer. So I encourage all of you that whenever you do any of this stuff, whenever you stand forward to do God's work, pray about it. The idea of moving forward to God, to do God's work, confronts us continually. I'm reminded, you've all heard the story of Moses in the Red Sea. Moses was leading the Egyptians out of Egypt. He had led them out of Egypt, and they'd gotten to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea's ahead of them, and they could see the dust from the chariots and the soldiers coming. Is it because the people were milling around? What do we do? Is it because, this is out of Exodus 14, verse 11, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? And what did Moses say? Does anybody have the translation that says, somebody needs to do something? No. Moses asked God for guidance. And God spoke. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the people of Israel to move forward. I think the NIV says move on. But the idea is to turn around and move forward. And it was at that point that Moses raised his staff and separated the Red Sea with God's help. So I just encourage each one of us to, when we're confronted with the opportunity to do God's work, and God bless you guys. There's three or four new faces up here this morning, Julie and Diane and somebody else. Greg presented the video on Shiloh. Thank you for stepping forward to do those things. Gary alluded to the fact that there's lots of new things going on here in our church right now. And we need volunteers to make those things happen. So please, say yes when you're asked to help out. So, I'm here today, and Carl will speak next week. I think that's still the plan. Tomorrow we celebrate Memorial Day. That's a day we've set aside to remember those who have died for our country, serving in the armed forces. And they've died protecting our freedoms. So I want to talk today about the cost of that freedom. How many veterans do we have here today? God bless you guys and gals. God bless you for what you've done, the sacrifices that you've made to protect freedom for us, including the freedom that we have to worship here today. Technically, I think Memorial Day is to honor those who have died our freedoms. I'm really thankful that you're here with us today and that you didn't die protecting our freedoms. Earlier in my life, I took for granted much of what our armed forces had done to secure our freedoms. I never thought very much about the cost of what that was so that we could have the freedoms that we have. But more recently, I've become aware of the pain and the sacrifice and the anxiety and the stress that comes to those who have had to sacrifice their lives or just sacrifice in combat. My dad was a Marine. He was not killed in combat, but died a natural death. And he never talked about his war experiences. He never talked. They were painful. And it wasn't until after he died that I got into some of the military records and the things that my mom had collected. So I'm gonna tell a little story about my dad here. But as I do that, please remember it's not about my dad and it's not about heroism. It's about the stress and anxiety and the cost that these guys experience as they fight for our freedom. My dad was a platoon leader. He was a second lieutenant, fresh out of college, freshly married, freshly a father. My sister was less than a year old. His platoon was brought in to defend an outpost on Bunker Hill. After arriving on Bunker Hill, they dug bunkers, foxholes, and foxholes with covers for protection from artillery. And it was shortly after that that they got the bunkers constructed. There was a 45-minute artillery barrage. They just blew the top off of Bunker Hill, the communist Chinese. 13 of his men were killed, 13 of 30. And then it got dark. The hill was overrun by, some reports were as many as 500 Chinese were running around on the top of the hill looking for the guys that had survived. My dad was wounded during all of that. He took shrapnel from an exploding grenade, and his guys thought he was dead. A little bit later, he came to, and they drug him into the command bunker, which is where the radio communication equipment was. And these bunkers were built for six guys. There were 17 men in that single bunker that had survived the artillery barrage. 14 of them were badly wounded. And three were uninjured. It was dark and they were hiding. And the next thing that happened was the Chinese found their bunker and began to dig them out. And so I'm going to read an enactment from these yellow pages were written in 1953, less than a year following the battle. And it was for a radio program called Marines in Review. I'm sorry you can't read that, but it's these yellowed, tattered pages. And it's a reenactment of what happened on Bunker Hill. So, and again, it's not about heroism or any of that. It's about the stress that these guys were under. So, Lieutenant, listen. Yeah, I hear it, Bowman. Commies know we're here. They're trying to dig us out. They'll get us in a few minutes. There's a way, Bowman. Is the radio still working, Lang? Yes, sir. We're gonna risk suicide to save our skins. Call command post, Lang, and tell them to fire battery one. Yes, sir. Dictator one to dictate. Fire battery one. Dictate. This is dictate. Battery one is zeroed in on your position. They're aiming the artillery at their bunker. Repeat for confirmation. Is that what you want us to do? I say again, fire battery one. So for the next 3 hours in the dark, these 17 guys in this bunker listen to these shells coming in and exploding and shaking the walls of their bunker. Can you imagine the stress, the anxiety, the whatever else, the PTSD that goes on in that kind of a situation. And again, I bring this up not because it makes for a good movie or because of the heroism involved. I bring it up because I can't imagine what these men fighting for our freedom went through. And did I mention the cost to the families? My mom received a telegram shortly thereafter. You can't read this either. It's dated October 15th, 1952. And basically it says, "Sorry to inform you, but your husband's been wounded." And that was the last communication she received for about 2 weeks. Stress, anxiety, what's happening, what's going on? The stress of our veterans are measured in terms of personal sacrifice, family sacrifice, PTSD, wounding, death, and who knows what else. And we can't take that for granted. Thank you, veterans, for what you've done for us. Memorial Day in our country was enacted to remember the cost and sacrifices made by our veterans. Rudyard Kipling wrote a poem called Recessional, and he used the term lest we forget, and at the end of the God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold dominion over palm and pine. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget. So Kipling was emphasizing the dangers of forgetting our past. We don't want to do that with our veterans. What's cool about that poem to me is it comes straight out of Deuteronomy 4, chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. God speaking to Moses as Israel had come out of Egypt, and I think that they were probably at Mount Sinai where God had given Moses the Ten Commandments. And verses 7 to 9 say, "What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws, the Ten Commandments, I'm setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to your children and to their children after them." So here's again this idea of let's not forget the cost and the sacrifices of freedom. Thank you, veterans. Sacrificing for freedom. Jesus sacrificed for freedom. He died sacrificing for us. He hung on a cross for us. Why did he do that? And what freedom did he provide us? The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's no unrighteous, not one. And it says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God in chapter 3, verse 23. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. That doesn't paint a very happy picture for us, because we're part of that group that all have sinned, and our penalty is death. We're guilty. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus died. He was our substitute. We didn't have to die because he died for us. Think about what our veterans are doing for us, dying for us. Ponder that for a time. But the Bible also says that the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. His death on the cross paid our price for sin, and it was a free gift for those of us that believe. It was free. I talked about the story of my dad calling in artillery on the bunker and the terrible stress that those guys had while they were listening to the rounds come in for 3 hours. Stress and anxiety and, wow, is one going to hit us and blow this bunker up, and on. Did Jesus suffer stress and anxiety? John chapter 10, verse 18 says, "No one takes my life," Jesus' life, "takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." It's a voluntary thing on Jesus' part. He did it voluntarily. He didn't have to do it. I love the story of Peter and Malchus in the garden when they came to arrest him. And you remember that they cut off Malchus's ear. Peter cut off Malchus's ear, and Jesus said, "No more. No more of this. We're not going to fight this." And he went willingly with the Roman soldiers. He voluntarily went to the cross for us. And before that, talked about anxiety and stress. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying before he was arrested. Matthew 26, 38, Jesus said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." I mean, Jesus is a man living on earth, and he's stressed out about this stuff. He's worrying about it. "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not my will, but as you will." Again, he doesn't want to go where he's going. And Luke 24, or 22, verse 44 said, "And being in anguish," Jesus is in anguish, "being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling on the ground." How many of us have prayed that? Did he suffer for us? Yes. I think about Jesus knowing that he was voluntarily going to the cross. I think about the anxiety and the stress of sweating blood and what was ahead. But he did that for us so that we could have eternal life. That was the freedom that Jesus gave us. I think about the Marines in the bunker, waiting for the next round to explode. I think about my mom waiting for the next communication from the government, finding out what had happened to her husband. Freedom is the result of many costs and sacrifices veterans have sacrificed. Let us not forget the sacrifice of our veterans. And Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. Let's not forget what Jesus has done for us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus, and thank you for the free gift of eternal life that he gave each one of us that believes. Never let us forget what Jesus has done. And thank you, veterans, and your families. Thank you for your sacrifices. Never let us forget those. I pray, God, that you would bless each one that's here today, that's come to worship you and to glorify you. In Christ's holy and precious name, amen.